changes. We had a lot of coaching changes in the NBA. It happens all the time. But what do you think about these new coaches coming in? What do you think is going to happen this year?
Well, Morris, yo, that's your boy, Luke. You finally got a coach in LA.
Uncle Luke! Yo.
We went two seasons without a coach, so it's good to have a coach again. It was hard these last couple seasons when there was no coach on the bench.
That's a mad old man.
But the league's changed a lot. Like, basically, almost every topic we've hit on has hinted at the fact that the league has changed a lot over the past couple years. And I think the shedding of coaches, like, every playoff, after your team's out the playoffs, the coach is gone. Is because, I mean, Curry is a player that people who were into advanced stats a couple years ago were, like, theorizing that, like, one day there's going to be this player that could hit a 30-foot jumper, you know, 9 times out of 10. And so now, like what happened with Byron Scott, you know, he entered his coaching stint with LA saying that we're not going to take any threes. Like, basically, if you take a three, I'm going to fucking punch you in the face and you're going to run a lap. And that's how we started the season.
It was suicide and, if you take a three.
Yeah, it was probably something that Pat Riley yelled at him in the 80s. And he, like, used that as his mantra to coach the team. And so now you have all these old head coaches who just aren't catching up. And then there's also these coaches that I think they know what this new league is going to, like, bend, like, how they could take advantage of it. And, Shaw, for example, when he went to Denver.
Yeah.
And that team was terrible. He couldn't coach. His offense sucked. His defense sucked. Everything was out of whack. And he had all the opportunity. Like, he was under Phil Jackson for a bunch of years. He had a lot of access to basketball minds. Like, he saw how the league was. Like, he's not that old. You know, he was.
Yeah.
At the same time, you got Brad Stevens in Boston, who's, like, a basketball genius.
Yeah, the thing about Stevens is offense. It's not predicated on, like, yeah, we're lobbing, like, thousands of threes, you know, but they're taking enough. I mean, it's kind of funny because a lot of these teams have all shifted to copycatting, like, you know, the next big thing. You know, Golden State comes in and breaks the game, so now everybody wants to shoot, you know, 45 threes a game, you know?
Yo, Brad Stevens could teach his dog how to run a pick and roll, man. That guy's a genius. Like, straight up. I have the utmost respect for him. Like, when the playoffs were coming, like, honestly, I was terrified of the Celtics. And I think they would have done a lot better if they had Bradley, but
They run some old school plays, too. I mean, stuff that, like, you learned in junior high school. Like, they're running double stacks and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
And it works. It's good old basketball, you know.
They're running a slice in the NBA, and it makes no sense to me, man.
But it makes perfect sense because nobody knows how to defend it anymore.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? It's like if you just do all the same stuff over and over again, then, you know, eventually it becomes like, who can run that the best, right? And then all of a sudden, you got someone running a slice in 2016, you know, and they're killing people with it. You know, that's because these people don't have basic knowledge of basketball anymore. I mean, but we had a lot of coaches come around. What do you guys think about Hornacek over there in New York?
Yo, I talk a lot of shit about the Knicks, but I'm actually really, really happy for them, man. I think Hornacek got a raw deal in Phoenix. Like, I talked a lot of trash about a lot of organizations, but Phoenix, in my opinion, is one probably, like, they're one of the bottom organizations in the league right now with how they're run. It's how they do their players, how they do their management. Like, even the lead up to Hornacek getting that job was kind of messed up. So, you know, when he got done dirty and he got handed a platter, just a, you know, like, he didn't ask for that logjam of point guard that season. And he didn't ask for twins to go out and start fighting guys because, you know, some dude hollered at the mom. He didn't ask for that. So now he's in New York, and New York went through the whole thing with Fisher. That didn't go, like, I think Fisher may have got fired a little bit early, in my opinion, but, you know, whatever. Hornacek's a good coach, man.
I just wondered how much say he has in what kind of offenses they're running. You know what I mean? He's going to get shoehorned into running some of that triangle. I mean, that's just going to happen.
That triangle shit needs to die. Like, it's a great system. That's like the Princeton and all this other kind of stuff, but it's a greater system when you have Hall of Fame players running it, obviously. So you can't just say, like, yo, we're going to run the triangle and we're going to get wins. It don't work like that. It's not some magic, you know.
It's like, the thing about it is that Phil knows the triangle. He could probably get, you know, Melo and the rest of those guys. He could probably really get them into running the triangle well, but he's not a coach.
Man, only thing Phil trying to do is run back to L.A. with Jeannie Buss, yo.
Mars got that penciled in. When's that happening, Mars?
I don't want him back. I've seen what he's done in New York. I don't want him. It reminds me of when Rambis went to Minnesota to coach.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh, man, they got our next coach. And then, oh, well. good luck with Rambis, guys.
dodge the bullet on that one. I mean, New York did dodge the bullet, but not hiring him. I thought for sure. I was almost for sure Rambis was going to be their next head coach, you know, because.
God.
I mean, in a different timeline right now, Phil Jackson's the GM of the Lakers and Rambis is coaching the team.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought they were going to make a run for Walton. You know, after he signed with LA, I was like, oh, that Rambis is the coach. I mean, there's no way. And then they went out and hired Hornacek, which was a surprise to me and a pleasant surprise if you're a New York fan. I think Hornacek can do some good things. And plus, people don't realize that under Sloan, like, they ran a lot of triangle elements in Utah.
They did, yeah.
So I mean, it could work out. It could be a happy marriage over there.
Like,
I don't think so. I like Hornacek. I think he did better than anyone could have asked for him in Phoenix with all the drama that was going down over there. I do like him as a coach going forward for the Knicks. I like Porzingis, and that's about it. I like their coach, and I like one of their players.
I do think the Knicks roster is definitely nothing to, like, be excited about.
It's like a Frankenstein, but, like, every body part that they put on it, like, had diabetes.
That's horrible. I mean, there is some talent on it, but the only problem is they don't have any real way to get more talent that they need. You know, they have Melo. You have Rose now, who just got traded there. And, you know, and you got KP. And that's your core. So if I'm, you know, a guy like Kevin Durant or, you know, whoever, you know, the free agent coming in, I'm sitting down with Phil Jackson. He's like, well, we got Rose, we got Melo, and we got, you know, KP. And I don't really feel like I want to sign with that team. You know,
like, yo, if Phil Jackson runs up on KD right now, like, KD's like, yo, how did you get past security, bro?
Like, yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just like,
how did this happen?
In general, like,
what's your
sales pitch there? I mean, like, what do you do?
I'm always like, yo, fuck the Knicks because, you know, fuck them. But I mean, even Cleveland won a championship, man.
To be fair, Knicks won a championship sometime. I don't remember the word.
I mean, that's what they say, but who saw it? I didn't see it. So
Phil Jackson has told me. that he has a ring from New York somewhere.
I mean, I want to believe, like, okay, I'm going to try and pitch for New York because they're not here for him. So I'm going to try. Like, okay, Derrick Rose was terrible last season. Now, I'm not even going to go into, like, the whole, like, okay, after Christmas. No, he was trash. He got outperformed by every backup point guard on the roster. By all stats, he was the 44th best point guard in the league. That's not a starter. But the more and more I hear about Chicago, their organization, their medical staff. Like, I just saw Luol Deng come back from the dead and body my team in the playoffs, man. I could have sworn he was dead. It's like, I saw the body. Luol Deng was dead last year.
I mean, you know, there's a few teams in the league, if I had, like, an ailment, that I would just rather duct tape myself and go on, because it's like the Bulls and the Magic. If I get hurt. They're the one that diagnoses me. I just want to take some aspirin and keep it pushing. Because those teams are really bad. Chicago as an organization, I think Chicago's in a world of trouble. I mean, they're trying to blow up their team, but it doesn't look like it's really happening to me, like the way it's working. I mean,
yo, Jimmy Butler don't trust you.
Yeah, exactly. The thing about it is that Jimmy Butler is like one of the, like, you know, he's a super humble kid because he came, you know, he overcame, you know, everybody knows the Jimmy Butler story, right? You know, everybody knows all the stuff he went through to get to the NBA. And if he is like, man, I don't know.
Yo, he was humble. Then you're talking, I can just see, like, the bass in his voice got that coach shook, man. Jimmy Butler comes up and says, hey, we ain't hard enough, coach. Like, whoa, hold up. You trying to drop a mixtape right now? Like, hold up, bro.
He's right, though. I mean, they, you know, when he was playing under Thibs, right, which is another coach that changed, he playing under Thibs, they they were a rough team. Like they didn't have any offensive talent besides Butler and sometimes the corpse of Rose would come back and play a game or two. They were winning games because they were shutting people down.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they go ahead and they bring in the mayor and their team just doesn't have any identity. They don't have an offensive identity. Yeah. They don't have a defensive identity. So
that's something to say when you bring in an offensive genius coach or, cause he did a lot of work. It was at Iowa State or whatever.
Yeah. He looked good over
there. And it was like, okay, yeah, offensive genius and you do all this stuff. And when you come into the NBA and your offense never makes sense, like Chicago's offense never at any point looked good. Well, this whole season.
I mean, it's part of the thing though. When you're a GM and you're like, okay, we need more points. So we're going to hire.
That's how they say it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is how I imagine like the whole war room is going. We need to get more points. So we're going to hire an offensive coach, but we're going to give them the same players that we use on our stingy defensive team. You know, like. You got a bunch of players that are just there to really goon dudes and lock them down, but you're gonna give them to this offensive coach and expecting to work magic.
Yeah, it just didn't, like I was seeing some of the things that were running. They had like Taj Gibson like throwing high screens and everything. It's just like, yo, what big is gonna jump out on Taj Gibson, bro?
Yeah, and the thing is that like, you know, he's running these high screens and these weird things with players that don't have the skill sets to even worry about, you know, like you got Ty Gibson out there, like, yeah, give him the ball. I want him to have the ball, you know, 22 feet from the rim. That's the idea.
That's a win for the defense.
Where you give him that all day.
The other thing is when you got offensive guys who are supposed to step up, like Mirotić is supposed to be, he was a great rookie for Chicago last year. But this season, well, we got offensive, you know, minded head coach and he regresses like hugely. Now, part of that could be injuries, and I saw that Instagram video with him doing leg presses, and my heart just went out to everybody who ever was spoken to by Chicago medical staff. But it's just like, you see this, I'm like, yo, these guys are supposed to get better. Like, Jimmy, what's his name? Dougie McBuckets over there and everything. Like, he got better, but they got offensive guys there who don't look good under an offensive-minded coach. It makes you regret your coaching decision already.
Well, speaking of that, we're going one more. I want to do one more coaching thing before we finish it up here. Thibs and Mini, what do you guys think about that? I mean,
I really like it.
I can't.
I think he was the best option available to them at the time, and they had pretty much every available coach looking at them, waiting to get a call back. And I think him and Towns is going to be a nightmare for everyone who's playing against them.
Not just like if he gets LaVine to play defense too. I mean, already like Chris Dunn's got. He's going to be a monster on defense day one, in my opinion. But Cat, Wiggins, I'm like, yo, that's all.
I mean, I love Minnesota's core. And I've been saying this for, you know, since they had the number one pick with Cat. I think they're going to develop into an incredible team. But I have some, I want to be that little, that hater. I like Thibs as a coach. But do I like Thibs as the GM?
That's a good question.
Well, okay. I'll play it like this. Again, Chicago's organization, like Paxson and whatever his name is, like, they suck.
I'm not saying that they don't suck, but his first real type of move that he was trying to make, and you're bigging this dude up, Chris Dunn, you're bigging him up, but he was trying to move that pick for Butler.
Yeah, I would too. You
know? And if that deal that people said was on the table was actually on the table, then I don't know why he didn't do it, honestly.
They said it was on Chicago's side, and it was Thibs being a dick, and I think he probably was. But even then, like, if you have the option of having Butler and Wiggins as your defensive wings with Cat in the middle and Dean too, like, you can't say no to that. You know, I'll get a chair to run point guard, man.
Yeah, but I think, I do think, though, that Chicago, they're known to hold grudges, you know, and with Thibs' call, they probably – yeah, you got to give up something real heavy for us to even deal with you.
And that's one of the negative things about Thibs is that he ran his players in the ground. And I'm kind of on the fence on whether or not to give him a get out of jail free card on that after all this mess is coming out about the Bulls medical team.
Yeah, I mean, but Thibs, to be honest, though, I mean, the only thing, Thibs players didn't play that many more minutes than the average starter.
Yeah, and it seems like, the year after Thibs left, their minutes were about the same.
Yeah.
The only thing that I do say about Thibs is, at least hopefully, you know, he reevaluated his stance on it, is that when players are dinged up, it's your job as the coach to be like, all right, tonight you're only going to play 28 minutes, you know? And even if we might lose a game because of that, you know? I mean, that's your job as the coach, because why would you, you know, you win one game, but you lose the dude in a week because, you know, he hasn't healed right, you know? Like, your job is to kind of maintain that, you know?
I feel like you're talking to me right now. That was a freak injury, bro.
But I'm just saying in general, man. You know?
No, I feel you. But, like, the way everyone describes the Chicago team after the fact was that it was the players and Thibs against the organization and the GM. And that should never be the case, you know what I'm saying? And the more and more I hear about the Chicago medical staff, I'm, like, really kind of easing off that whole, like, yo, Thibs is a drill sergeant. He had guys out there dying for him. It made sense at the time, but the more and more I see, like, that leg press, like, this guy doing rehab is, I know better than that. Like, that's scary stuff. So I don't know, man.
And there was also that Luol Deng statement that the year he didn't play in the playoffs and everyone was calling him soft because he had clearance from the medical staff, but he got a second opinion. They said he had a broken leg. So that kind of.
It's the same thing when Rose said, like, nah, I ain't playing because, you know, like, you know.
Rose on some other shit.
Like, no, but, you know, he is. But at the same time, it's like, you got to, I mean, as a player, you can't really call him soft because, you know, like, the dude, you know, goes to get a second opinion and the doctor says, well, hey, you might blow your stuff up if you play this year. You know, you need to rehab, you need to rest. You know, like, you know, Chicago really treats their players like old school, like, you know, the old horror stories you hear from the NFL where I got a shot of cortisone in my knee and I was back out there, you know? Like, you know, you know, like, Chicago seems like they really approach the game like that. And especially right now, because they probably don't see any of these players as that valuable assets. I mean, just being, I mean, brutally honest, you know, like, they don't have Michael Jordan no more. They don't have a player that's going to win them championships. They're just trying to get to the playoffs and make some extra money.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, and the thing too is, like, the more and more, like, sports medicine advances, like, the more you hear crazy stories, like, again, John Wall, like, some story, like, he's been playing on one leg almost his whole life. Like, crazy stuff like that. Yeah, you know, where a doctor evaluates, like, yo, you've never used your right leg when you've been one of the best athletes in the league. You've never used both legs. Crazy stuff like that comes out. Or, you know, guys like Kemba Walker had a cyst in his knee his entire career and didn't know about it until just last year. You know, you hear more and more things like this, and it's like, you know, it's like Phoenix has and some other organizations have. You have to upgrade your entire organization, not just the coach, not the GM, but the medical staff. Because you can't, it doesn't matter if you kill a guy. You can draft the best player in the world and kill him. Look at McGrady.
Of all the horrible things and terrible decisions that Phoenix has made, their medical staff is like some magical witch doctor voodoo type stuff. Because I mean, the fact that I saw Grant Hill play. just to me is like, wow, you know, these guys here like are amazing. I mean, and that's why, like, you know, you can hear that. Grant Hill, I remember him doing interviews about it and just saying, like, yo, they put me through some different things that I never thought I'd never seen. I never experienced. And then all of a sudden I'm playing again, you know? And, you know, it was never Grant Hill, the dude that was selling you Sprite. But
he played, man. He was a legit player. Like, you had to guard him, man.
Like, still out there. He was shooting threes. I was like, oh, Grant Hill shooting threes. What's going on? But, yo, okay. I got one last topic, and we're going to wrap it up for this. It's summertime right now. We just got through this whole, you know, the whole finals, the draft and everything, and we're going into free agency. And, you know, because it's summer, sometimes, you know, I go and I watch baseball. And, you know, I like baseball. One thing that I was out there, old man rambling for a second there. I like baseball. I like hot dogs. You know, I like cotton candy. But I'm really strongly say that I feel that there's some kind of a weird media double standard for the NBA. And hear me out on this here. And I know it's kind of a deep, you know, topic or whatever, but, you know, every year in baseball, you see some dude get blasted by a ball, right? You get beat. For retaliation, retaliation, and these bench clearing brawls, dudes are fighting. You know, I'm talking about like 10 years ago, Pedro Martinez threw a 70-year-old man on his face. You know, I mean, these things that happen, right, in baseball, and it's laughed at and thrown aside. It's the boys of summer. You know, they're going to fight. That's just part of the game. And to me, it is. I mean, and I don't really have a problem with it. You know what I mean? It obviously is dangerous when people are throwing fastballs around the net. The point of what I'm saying is that if there's a shoving match in the NBA on the court, it becomes, you hear terms like the ugly scene, this ugly turn of events, this whole, you know, I mean, and I know it goes to that fight with Artest.
Yo, Malice in the Palace.
You know, I know it goes back to that when it really started getting looked at. But even a little bit before that, you know, when Iverson came in the league and, you know, you heard terms like thug and this and that, you know, if Iverson played shortstop and looked exactly the way he does, he would never be called a thug. Ever. And I really, really stand by that. I think there's a weird double standard in the media for the NBA and the standards that they're held to. I just want to throw that out there as our kind of final topic.
Nah, man. Baseball got some goons, like legit goons, man. Like, you got to be a certain kind of man to look at somebody like, yo, I'm going to throw this ball at your head at 100 miles per hour because fuck you, bruh. Flip your bat at me, I'm gonna fuck you up, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's some shit.
And it's weird because it's weird, like this weird little etiquette. Like, oh, I didn't like the way he, right? You know, he knocked this home run, and I didn't like how he went around the bases. So next time, I'm gonna try to break his rib. You know, like, and
no, it's just crazy to me because I see that like last in the playoffs, yo, Joey Bats flipped the bat. I'm like, yo, that's what's up. Then I look on the internet and yo, old man, I can see this old man throw his hat. Like, I can't believe this.
Yeah. And they really feel a certain way about how the game should be presented. Like, this dude hit like probably the biggest hit of his career.
Yeah.
And he knew it was gone, so he was like, yeah, I'm the shit. Flips the bat. Boom. Right. And then after that, it's like the dude is disrespectful of this. And then this year, right, this same year, you know, he does a dirty slide in the second. And gets chin checked by the Rangers second baseman. Rocked, I mean, that dude threw a great punch, right?
Yo, he rocked his ass.
Yeah, chin checked him like for real. And but the thing that's funny is that's acceptable. I mean, it became people are talking about it. You know, ESPN is making jokes about it. You know, I think off of ESPN, they added sound effects. They had a clip. You know, he slides in the base. They stand up and square each other off. They add the little bell that you hear in the box. Ding, 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 ding. They added a sound effect. Doom! When he got punched. And then when he was walking off, they added those little bird sound effects. Like, you know, like he was seeing birds.
He was.
But it was all a good fun for them, right? But be that happen in the NBA. And you hear the announcer, this sounds like the Hindenburg. Humanity!
Yo, man. You gotta remember that Steven Jackson was on my team, man, for the longest time. And those were the best technicals. Like, I'll never forget, Steven Jackson was in the tunnel after the game and got teed up. Like, yo, what? How, ref? House way. How you, the game is over. How you get a technical, bro?
I know I had Vernon Maxwell on my team for a little while. And Vernon Maxwell and I remember when he played for the Sonics, Vernon Maxwell ran into the 10th row. Now he ran up on a fan. I guess supposedly the fan was talking about his daughter and he was hearing it. He ran up on him in the 10th row. And this is back in the day, obviously the Sonics had a team. You know, the Sonics were a thing. You know, so this is 15, 16 years ago.
And I gotta Google this.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is that it was just an incident. It didn't turn into a big deal. It wasn't, you know, he didn't actually, you know, slap the dude up or anything like that. But the fact he ran off the court into the 10th row with fans and was like, yo, you better stop talking that mess. You know, it was just like one of those things that you know, 10, 15 years ago, that was passion, or he was a goon, or he was, you know, he was saucy, or whatever they were saying. But now it's gotten to the point where they're branding these words of thugs and whatnot, you know. And it's just like, I really still feel like there's such a weird double standard.
I mean, it is. I mean, like, again, Steven Jackson was on my team for the longest time. The shit he talks, in my opinion, was hilarious. This is good old trash talking school, like Serge Ibaka, like, I'll run all your mouth. Like, straight up, you know? Ibaka's from Africa. He never heard that shit in his life. Yo, what the fuck? What do you mean? It is a double standard, straight up. Cause hockey, oh, it's just the guys. All right. Send them to the box for a couple of minutes. No problem. Baseball, boys of summer. But. Yeah,
in football, you get a little shoving match, even at that. Even at that, they don't.
Yeah, God, I remember, like, one time I was really, like, I've never as a fan felt that someone, like, a ref should say something, but that Giants-Panthers game with Odell Beckham Jr. and my guy, I'm like, yo, those dudes lost their fucking mind.
And they really, you know, they just don't like each other, and let it be known.
You saw a dude hit an NFL blitz, like, crown and helmet spear move at a guy's chin.
Yeah.
And the refs let it go. Like, all right,
dirty is dirty. I mean, don't get me wrong. Any sport, you know, dirty is dirty. Like, if you're playing baseball and you throw at somebody's head, that's just dirty. You know, if you slide in the second and try to take someone's knee out, that's just wrong. You mean? And dirty is dirty. And if you in the NBA and you go down a lane and you get clotheslined, I mean, that's just wrong. But at the same time, though, there's a point where, like, yo, in any sport, something goes wrong, and you gotta defend yourself as a man, right? I mean, that's just what happens. But when there is a fight in the NBA, it seems like the players are supposed to be the bigger man at all times.
Yes.
I think one of the big things that you mentioned was AI, when Allen Iverson came in and basically became the face of the league. As this rising star, it did change, like, the perception of NBA players. There were a lot of stereotypes projected on NBA players that still aren't really given to other leagues. And I think another big part of the whole fighting thing, like, there's so much fighting in the NHL that there's rules for it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yo, remember this season? Like, didn't a dude check a ref? Like, can you imagine if NBA player just, like, went up to a ref and just, like, yo, just shook him one good time? Like, I know you saw that ref. This dude got up and said he said he was concussed. Looked at a replay, like, I don't know. In my opinion, it's probably kind of hard to skate concussed. In my opinion, I don't know.
You'd be surprised. I mean, I'll give you that. You'd be surprised. I mean,
Some of that's muscle memory, but, yo, he sized dude up. And it's like, yo, that guy right there, he's getting that work.
He's getting it, yeah. But,
like, you know, I'm just saying.
I think Morris was right on, hit it right on the head, though. Like, I mean, hockey has its own personal set of rules for.
Like, there's protocol for when dudes start throwing punches at each other. So it's, like, built into the game. And then with baseball, the field's so large, the league isn't concerned about fan safety even when the bench is clear. Like, as long as they don't leave the stands, we're cool. And that's one big thing. That's the biggest difference between the two sports that I see personally.
I'll say that, yeah.
Is that Stern wanted it to be such an intimate, like, event where, like, fans, I mean, in my opinion, are way too close.
Yes.
Way too close. God, yeah.
If they put up, like, some sort of barrier, I think
that's a danger for the players, though. You know, if you put up a, mm-hmm. like a hockey-like barrier, I mean, they really need to lose, like, a row of seats and try to make a soft barrier.
Like, have you played – like high-end basketball before, right? Like, I played in college, and I remember it was one place it was in West Virginia or some shit like that, but it was a regular college stadium of a typical small basketball school, whatever. But, like, I'm checking the ball in, and I could feel this dude's breath on my ear, bruh. Like, in no other sport are guys dealing with that. So, I mean, yeah, guys gonna yell all kinds of stuff at you from the stands, but, like, no other sport, not even like soccer or football, excuse me, my bad. But I mean, like, yo, they are, like, on you, man.
Yeah, I mean, it is. That is a very big point that I've heard before as well. It's a great point that it is. There is concern for fan safety. And the concern for the fan safety, though, that's the concern for the NBA, right? They don't want these fights, so they're coming down hard on these kids for fighting. And that's fair enough. But I really see it in the media, though, more than like the NBA fining or suspending kids or whatever. When the NBA punishes a player, they're thinking about fan safety. Yo, you got to fight. You can't have fights, you know? So you got to sit on a bench or whatever. You can't play for 5 games or whatever happens, right? That's the NBA's like concern for the fans.
They would rather you punch a guy in the nuts than leave the bench.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, yeah,
that's what the NBA is.
Yeah. I get that, but the point that I was making about this whole bias, this double standard, is that goes beyond. It goes into the media, you know, how it's talked about. Like when a fight happens, the language they use to talk about the fight, you would swear that it's some kind of, you know, ultimate tragedy that happens.
Like, they were one step away from bringing the parents into it. Like, how was he raised?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's almost like that kid that fell in the gorilla pit, you know? It's like, and it's...
It's kind of crazy because I don't think I've ever seen an NBA player throw a decent punch.
Not in the last couple of years, man, straight up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, not to be insensitive, but I guess Kermit Washington threw a pretty good punch. But, I mean, aside of that, yeah, it's been a minute. I mean, I guess the last really good punch I saw was when Barkley knocked out Laimbeer.
The last decent punch I saw was when Jason Maxfield was in China and he chased that dude all the way across the fucking court.
No. I take that back. The last real good punch I saw is when Kobe got two-pieced. When Kobe got two-pieced, Charles just let him know. He didn't even hit him real hard. He just kind of tapped him. Like, I got you. And that was it. But yeah, I mean, they don't even really fight all that well. On top of that, yeah, Morris makes a great point. It's almost comical when they fight.
And yo, then Melo with that cross court backpedal.
Yeah, Melo. Yeah, what was that? Rapid punch.
Doing a crab walk away from him.
Yeah, Melo punched somebody from behind somebody. and I remember that happened after that Palace fight. You know, the Malice in the Palace.
Yeah,
the language that they used to describe it. You know, because it was. It was when New York, when Isaiah was coaching them, right? Isaiah was coaching the Knicks, and I think the Nuggets running up the score, and Isaiah told, like, don't come down that lane no more because you guys already won. And, you know, Carl, being the dickhead he is, he's trying to get 150 on. And you come down the lane, and sure enough, they clotheslined the hell out of that kid. And then they had a little scuffle, and Melo Rabbit punched somebody from behind a player. And he would have acted like, and the media acted like he was Al Capone, and it was like, you know, thug-like mentality, he came down or whatever. And it was just, I'm not advocating fighting, obviously, and that's not what the point, I don't want to say like the NBA should be able to fight, you know? But if a fight happens, it shouldn't be looked at as the end of the world, or like, or, you know, just the perception of the NBA has really changed with that, like, with the whole AI thing coming in there. And that whole word, that thug word has really been branded around with NBA players.
Well, I mean, it doesn't apply to, I mean, look at Grayson Allen in college is a goon. It's not just the NBA, it's in college basketball too, but Grayson Allen is a dirty ass motherfucking player. He really is. He will trip you. He will dap you up and smack you. Like, he's a bad, He's a goon, but he's a great kid, man. Like, look at all that heart and passion, man. Like, he plays for Coach Krzyzewski. He can't be a bad kid.
Yeah, I mean,
except Okafor. I don't know what he was doing out there. Like, how did he get associated in this? I'm like, it is what it is. But
I'm trying to keep it cool. I don't want to throw race out there because, you know, there are black athletes in football, and there's like one or two in the NHL. And there's like, you know, and they're in baseball as well. So, but, you know, the predominant star in the NBA is, you know, black, African American, whatever you want to call them, you know. So, I mean, yeah.
It is what it is,
you know, but it just saddens me.
Hey, Matthew Dellavedova is a hardy player, man.
He just wants it more.
He just wants it more. Yeah, he's just
like every team needs a guy like that to win.
He's like a coach on the floor.
Yeah. You can't teach that kind of passion, man.
Can't do heart. Grit. That's my favorite one. Grit. He's real gritty.
I think the problem, I mean, there's obviously a racial component to this. But aside from that, I think the NBA is conditioned the viewers never to see a fight. So when they do happen, it's kind of this weird anomaly. It comes, I mean, there's so many baseball games. How many times a year do the benches clear?
I mean, pretty much, I mean, you're guaranteed. Sometimes it happens like 3 or 4 times a week. You know,
yeah, so like, oh, and it's like, it's not a big story. It's like, oh, this happened and this, and it'll be the only highlight for that whole fucking game.
Yeah, there'll be one home run and then there'll be the pitch that got the fight started and then they'll show you the score.
And your reaction to it is, oh yeah, this again.
Yeah.
But like when someone throws a punch in the NBA, like, oh shit, he really threw a punch. Like it's a bigger deal, even though it happens like every dead ball in the NFL.
I mean, yeah.
I still remember ESPN making a whole like daily segment out of Candace Parker getting into a fight. I'll never forget that. Yeah, I mean, the WNBA, it was the same thing.
The thing about it is that, you know, for us, you know, I would say the above. The more than casual fan, we all really love the NBA. That's why we're doing this podcast, right? You know? So for us, like seeing someone throw a punch is surprising because they're like, oh, they're going to get this dude's nuts. He's done. Like he's going to, you know, he might be suspended for the year. He's going to just spend it for whatever, you know, like that's why it's surprising to people like us, like more and more than just the fact that it's like some weird, like some non-factor that almost never happens. And on the casual fan probably gets surprised, but I still think it's like, again, it's still like there's a lot to go with it. And I wish, I do like what the NBA has done in a lot of ways, but I think seeing like a predominantly darker sport, I guess is the word that I can use. seeing it, you know, all of the stars, you know, there's no and white players that can be a star. There was Dirk. You know, but Dirk's European, you know? He's not a American born, you know. Who is the next big white star in the NBA right now? I just
Grayson Allen, he stayed in college, but he's coming, yo. Grayson Allen got next, yo. White Wade, I believe.
Man, you know, I mean, I heard that about Adam Morrison.
You're just trying to pick a fight. All right, that's cool.
I was a big Adam Morrison,
No, I'm trying to think.
I'm just saying, like, right
KP,
now.
KP, like, American-born players,
right now, in the NBA, like, if you would be like, all right, you know, like, if the NBA was to be like, we need a white face for the NBA, who would you suggest? I'm not even trying to be, like, you know, like funny or anything. I'm just trying to
if there's, like, some Illuminati running the NBA, then you would trade Gordon Hayward to the Knicks.
Gordon Hayward.
You find a way to get him onto the Knicks, and that's how you get that dude, the NBA right? white face.
He would probably be that dude. Yeah, you're right. Gordon Hayward would probably be that dude.
Yo, Chandler Parsons got so much attention for being an average fucking player. like, the way this dude's name kept coming up, I'm like, I'm looking at this. I was like, is this the same guy? All right.
You know, speaking of race and weird stuff, people have said that Lynn doesn't get calls. That he gets beat up.
Man, yo, I suggest anybody go on YouTube and look for that clip, man. Jeremy Lin abused by the refs. And you see people, it's all guys from his old teams. Like Kobe straight up, like, hit him with a WWE clothesline. Melo just like dropped an elbow on him. Dwight just like threw the kid. I'm like, yo, what did Jeremy Lin do to you? There's gotta be some kind of like story here, like, yo, Jeremy Lin stole everybody's girl. Like, before Detective, there was Jeremy Lin just snitching on everybody.
Detective, yeah. We got, someday we gotta touch on that topic. That's another topic altogether, yo. Actually, well, let's wrap it up here. This is gonna be our first episode, and we hope that everyone that listened enjoyed it. And, you know, where can you find us, y'all? Yo, where we at? Where we at, Di?
Yo, slayant.com, man. You already know, man.
Come talk to us there. If you liked the episode, let us know what you want to hear, what you like, and we'll be back next month with the second